welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. Today we celebrate Pentecost, the birthday of the church. The talk is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, Vicar of St. James, and our readings this week are taken from Joel 2, verses 21 to 32, and Acts 2, verses 1 to 13. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
The first reading is taken from Joel chapter 2, verses 21 to 32, and the first half from the Lord's Promise of Restoration. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Surely the Lord has done great things. Don't be afraid, O land. Be glad now and rejoice, for the Lord has done good things. Don't be afraid, you animals of the field, for the wilderness pastures will soon be green. The trees will again be filled with fruit. Fig trees and grapevines will be loaded down once more. Rejoice, you people of Jerusalem. Rejoice in the Lord your God. For the rain he sends demonstrates his faithfulness. Once more the autumn rains will come, as well as the rains of spring. The threshing floors will again be piled high with grain. And the presses will overflow with new wine and olive oil. The Lord says, I will give you back what you lost to the swarming locusts, the hopping locusts, the stripping locusts, and the cutting locusts. It was I who sent this great destroying army against you. Once again, you will have all the food you want, and you will praise the Lord your God, who does these miracles for you. Never again will my people be disgraced. Then you will know that I am among my people Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. Never again will my people be disgraced. And the second section, the Lord's promise of his Spirit. Then, after doing all those things, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. And your young men will see visions. In those days I will pour out my Spirit, even on servants, men and women alike. And I will cause wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and terrible day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For some on Mount Zion in Jerusalem will escape, just as the Lord has said. These will be among the survivors whom the Lord has called. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is Act 2, 1 to 13. The birthday of the church, when it all began, when it moved from a bunch of people who'd followed someone around into a movement, into a church. So, appropriate, we have balloons and cake. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart express your desire for this church today. Amen. So, just to start with, "Well done, Richard," is one of those passages that people are sweating when they realize, "Oh, I have to name all those tribes and people, so you've done a great job." Later in my preaching, I'll mention all those people. I don't think I'll do such a good job, but we'll try. And again, if you've been here, I think last week or the week before, I did say something about this wonderful, how you call it, not a coat, a gilet, that's the French, a gilet. It's actually not mine. It's been hanging here forever, and I'm using it because it's great, but if it belonged to you, see me after church, and I'll give it back. There you go. I want to begin today to kind of end our series on living in the liminal season with a short clip from this film, Shrek 2. How many of you know Shrek 2? A few, Shrek 2. So I hope you'll get what the clip is all about. It might echo how many of you have felt as we progressed in this series of liminal living in that in-between. Well, let's watch.
Are we there yet? No. Are we there yet?
Not yet.
Hey, are we there yet?
Well, are we there yet?
No!
Are we there yet?
Yes.
Really?
No!
Are we there yet?
No!
Are we there yet?
No, we are not!
Are we there yet?
No!
Are we there yet?
Are we there yet?
Hey, that's not funny. Hey, that's really immature.
That's really immature.
See, this is why nobody likes ogres. All right, you're lost. I'm gonna just stop talking.
Finally.
But this is taking forever. Shrek, and there ain't no in-flight movie or nothing.
The kingdom of far, far away, donkey, that's where we're going. Far, far away.
All right, I get it. I'm just so darn bored.
Well, find a way to entertain yourself. Minutes. Could you not be yourself for 5 minutes? Ah! Are we there yet?
Yes.
Oh, finally!
So are we there yet? Yes, we are. Happy Pentecost. Today we celebrate the arrival of the Holy Spirit, the moment God's long-promised gift is poured out. This is the launch. Bold and powerful and filled with signs, a new era is about to begin. An era where anyone who responds to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus becomes part of something new. After the waiting of that liminal, we've learned this new word, waiting, living in between, everything for the followers of Jesus now are changing. They've been empowered by the Spirit. They are the new people of God sent to bear fruit, to proclaim Jesus' reign, to live differently, and to bring about God's transformation in their world. And today, I hope I'm not going to be too long, but it's quite long, so I'm looking at the time. But I want to look at three kind of key words: God's timing, God's power, and God's reach. So God's timing, perfect timing. The story of Pentecost takes place at a time when people from all over the world, the known world, were coming to Jerusalem for a well-known festival. Pentecost, or Shavuot, was a festival, one of the three main festivals of the Jewish faith. And Shavuot means weeks, and Pentecost, from the Greek word Pentecoste, means 50th. That was the 50th day after Passover, and it was a great time to celebrate. The bringing of the first fruit was the harvest, the wheat harvest, and they had to bring the first fruit. But also later on, it was linked to the celebration of the giving of the Torah, which was the heart of God making a covenant with Israel. And so that day was filled with that symbolism and expectation. The first fruit, the new harvest, was coming, and a covenant. What better time for God to launch his new project? A new harvest, not of wheat, but of souls. And a new covenant, not written on stone, but now written in human hearts. The timing of Pentecost wasn't random. It was divine, it was deliberate, and deeply symbolic. How well do we respond to God's timing in our own lives, in our communities, and in the life of a local church or the churches at large? How sensitive are we to his timing? We'll look at that question a bit later as we think about the importance of waiting, hearing, and moving. So God's timing. Secondly, God's power. And this passage speaks of power. We hear, that on the day of Pentecost, they were all together in one place, and then the sound like the blowing of a violent wind, other translation, makes a great gale of wind from heaven, fills the room. It's not a gentle breeze, it's a powerful, unmistakable surge. And the wind in Scripture often refers to God's presence, the ruha, the breath of God. And just as in Ezekiel, who prophesies over those dry bones and the wind that brings life, now the Spirit is bringing new life into Jesus' followers. And it's not just a little wind, and it's a wind that comes from above, so they know it's coming from God, but there is also fire. Those tongues of fires, and a lot have been written about how they looked like, and I deliberately made a choice not to have too much representation of how it might have looked like, because that's not the point. The point is that this was prophesied by John the Baptist, who had said, I'm coming to baptize you with water and a baptism of repentance, but there is one coming after me. He will baptize you with the Spirit and with fire. And although fire at times has this understanding of purifying, here it's more about the presence of God, like the burning bush, the fire when Moses realized God is here present. And yes, it's purifying because he realizing this is a holy ground. But this is about God's presence coming. God had come in flesh in Jesus and was with his disciples. But Jesus now was taken into the right hand of God the Father. He's in heaven praying, interceding, but he's not leaving us orphaned, and he's not leaving us, those first followers, orphaned. And so God comes down again, not in flesh, but in spirit, in the presence, in the reality of his Holy Spirit, not to be just with them, but in them. The Holy Spirit lives in you. If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. You become, an expression in the New Testament, a walking temple on earth. You are the place where people can meet God because the Holy Spirit lives in you. That's what Pentecost was for them, and that's what it is still for us. The Spirit empowers them to proclaim the mighty works of God, and we hear in our passage across every barrier of language and culture. And that's why in a church, God doesn't send us all to be a minister like myself or to have a great ministry in the local church. Most importantly, he sends you into the community. He sends you out so you can be living temple where you are. That's your call in your life. And you can step out in those spaces with confidence because the same Spirit that filled the room there with power is the Spirit that fills your room, your life, and that fills the church when the church is open and obedient. So, timing, power, and reach. God's global mission is unleash. Jerusalem that day was filled with devout Jews from every nation, some born into Israel, others were God-fearers, people who wanted to follow the rules, or even proselytes who went through circumcisions and became converts, Gentiles, drawn from all over the place who wanted to follow the Mosaic law. They were there. They had come to celebrate the giving of the Mosaic law, the covenant. But God had a deeper revelation for them. A new covenant had arrived based on Jesus Christ, on his life, death, and resurrection. And so Pentecost was this cosmic turning point. And so, yes, we heard about all those tribes and peoples. And if we go through, you don't need, but Parthians and Medes and Elamites, kind of representing the Far East, Persia and Iran, and possibly all the way up to India. We had the Middle East present with Mesopotamia and Judea, modern Iraq and Syria. We have Asia Minor, our modern Turkey, with Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia. We have North Africa with Egypt and Libya, near Cyrene we hear, centers of Jewish, the Jewish presence there. We have Rome, which is southern Europe. And we have even the Mediterranean island and Arabian Peninsula with Cretan and Arabs. People from all over the known world at the time. God was launching his world mission. A mission that hasn't stopped, and we are part of it right here, right now. So timing, power, and reach. But at the heart of it was this long wait. The wait of Israel, centuries they hadn't heard, then the Messiah comes. The wait of the disciples, after being trained for 3 years and confronting with something they didn't expect, the death of Jesus, they met Jesus alive. They were with him for a few weeks, and then we celebrate the ascension. Now, someone said, you know, they only had to wait 10 days. It's not a long wait. Sometimes we wait much longer when we pray for something, even as a church. Sometimes it's days, sometimes it's weeks, sometimes it might be years. But they waited, and the time came for the Spirit to fill them. That was the instruction. Stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Waiting for power. What a difficult invitation. It was not go and start something in your own strength or do your best. No, it was wait. Being in step with God. Sometimes being in step with God is obeying to the last instruction and waiting for the next one. And often what we do is we might have followed the last instruction, but we get impatient, so we take things in our own hands. And we start projects and events and activities, but we haven't waited. They didn't run around with plans and strategies and programs. They're all good things. They're important. That's how God created us, to be creative, to plan, to have strategies. But they're only as good as they are led by God's Spirit and empowered by God's Spirit. When we ask God to bless our plans, when we move in our own wisdom, in our own steam, with our human resource and sourced ideas, maybe we experience more of the following. Yes, it looks busy, but it's barren. Yes, it might look very polished, but it lacks presence. Yes, it might be full of motions, but it's starved of power. And so the first followers of Jesus, yes, they only had to wait 10 days, but they didn't rush ahead. They were in that room sitting together, waiting, praying. And then God came and filled them with his Spirit. And then they were on the move. We have the first amazing preaching. We have great results. And the whole book of Acts is how they responded to God's Holy Spirit. And it's filled there. Read maybe this week or the coming weeks Acts and see. It should be the book, the Acts of the Holy Spirit, the Acts of God's presence with his early church. It makes me think about the experience, maybe that they were thinking about too, of Israel's when they were in the desert and how they had to learn to follow God's presence. You might remember there was a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire during the night. And their task was, when the cloud moves, you move. And when the cloud stops, you stop. Or if it's at night, even at night, if the pillar of fire moves, you move. If it stops, it stops. And whether the cloud lingered for a day or a year, they had to stay. And when it lifted, they had to move, no matter how settled they had become. This rhythm wasn't about convenience. It was to teach them obedience. It was about unlearning the slavery of self-reliance and learning the freedom of trust. And similarly, we are invited into that kind of rhythm and life. A life that's not ruled by our ambition or schemes or agenda, traditions or methods or past activities. Again, all good things. But the not good thing is that we are ruled by those. They're good things when they're an expression of God's Spirit, the movement of God before us. We are called to move with God, to live in step with him. God is not static. He's always on the move. Maybe we've missed some of his catching up. So the question is deeply personal. Will I go when he says go, even if it disrupts my plans? And will I wait when he says wait, even if it's unsettled, it unsettles my pace? Will I stop when the season or the timing for a certain thing is gone? Someone said, the life of power begins not with doing, but with dying. Dying to my ego, dying to my desire to control, and even dying to my cleverness. Only then can I see fruits that last, power that transforms, joy that endures. Not because I'm brilliant, but because I have learned to move when he moves, and to follow and empowered and be empowered by his life. Wait. How do we wait well? In our personal life, in the life of our church. You might be familiar with this story. In the early 20th century, a pastor called Joseph Jenkins was deeply burdened for his community, and he dedicated months of fervent prayer seeking a move of the Holy Spirit. Then in late 1903, he experienced what many described as the baptism of the Holy Spirit, kind of a renewed experience of the importance of living and moving with God's presence. And he described that experience as feeling clothed with power from on high. And that kind of intensified his prayer life and his preaching. And the turning point came in February 1904, during a youth prayer meeting. He asked those present to share how they viewed God, and one boy said, Jesus is the light of the world. To which Jenkins replied, yes, but what does it mean to you? You see, that's the difference between knowledge in our brain and experience in our heart. What does it mean when you say Jesus is the light of the world? And he says that there was a 20-year-old woman called Flory Evans. She rose to her feet and declared in Welsh, I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart. That's all she said. But that little sentence brought about revival in that church. The Holy Spirit descended on that room, bringing everyone present to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Witnesses said that the young people started weeping and declaring their own love to Jesus. A moment that ignited a revival that rapidly spread across Wales. And within 2 months, approximately 70,000 people came to faith. And when the revival was kind of coming to an end, more than 100,000 people had become Christian. Churches were filled. People's behavior and values began to change. Crime rates dropped. An entire community were transformed by a new sense of honesty, compassion, and purpose. Now, I don't know what God has in mind. Maybe it's revival. I don't know that. I think the lesson is, am I still in step with the last step that God asked me to do? That's faithfulness. Am I in step with that? And also, we can learn maybe from revivals and from the experience of Pentecost those important aspects of our Christian life, prayer and listening, a commitment to seek, above all, God's will. Your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, in my life, in my situation. To move when the Spirit moves. To seek his direction. And to do it that together. To be a community of faith united in purpose and fellowship. Be of one mind. That's what Paul says to all his church. Be of one mind. While we can't repeat Pentecost and we can't repeat the Welsh revival, we can follow a godly rhythm. A rhythm of waiting and praying, a rhythm of receiving and being empowered, and a rhythm of acting in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's not passivity? Yes? Still alive? Yes? It's dependence, radical dependence. It's a refusal to rush ahead of God, and a deep trust that when He moves, we will know it and we will be ready. I wonder if we choose that rhythm more and more, whether we will see more fruitfulness, because our lives, our service, our actions will be more Spirit-empowered, not self-driven. I wonder whether we will experience more joy, because we will be walking in greater sync with God, more in tune with His heart and His desire and what He is currently doing, not striving to make a name for ourselves or prove ourselves or hold power or position. I wonder whether we will see more growth, not just in numbers, but spiritual growth, maturity, love, and influence. I wonder whether we will see more life and freedom, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom and transformation. Close to finish. There is a great distortion, I think, in our Western Christianity coming from the influence of secular world, and that's called performative spirituality, where activity is confused with fruitfulness, and busyness is mistaken for obedience. Doing has become a proxy of being faithful. The more ministries, meetings, and visible commitments we have, the more spiritually mature we are perceived to be. But the danger can lead to burnout, shallow impact, and little fruit. Not because God isn't at work, but because the source of the work is not truly His. Maybe it's more a reflection of my poor self-esteem. I need to prove I'm valuable. Or maybe my addiction to approval. If others see me serve, I matter. Or maybe it's issues of control. If I'm not central, things fall apart. I need to be in the known. Someone said the spiritual activism creates religious noise, but often lacks depth, rest, and the Spirit's power. And so maybe today we are reminded at Pentecost of what really matters. Maybe reminded to choose a better way, a Spirit-empowered way, a Christ-centered way, and a kingdom-shaped way. Going to invite you to a moment of quietness and a prayer, and at the end of that prayer there will be one slide for all of us, and if you want to join that prayer, if you feel this is right for you, this is what you want, do so, but there is no compulsion. It must be something that you want to say to God. So let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, Heavenly Father, we confess we have mistaken busyness for obedience and activity for faithfulness. We confess that at times beneath our striving lies fear, insecurity, and pride. Help us to let go of the need to be impressive, to surrender our need to control, and to release our fear of being unseen. Teach us to wait well, to listen deeply, to move when you move. And clothe us again with power from on high. Breathe life into dry places. Ignite holy fire in hearts that have grown tired. And if you want to join me, this is more a personal prayer. So we finish by saying, not my name, but yours be lifted high. Not my will, but yours be done. Not my effort, but your Spirit move. I let go. I trust you. I abide in you. I rest in you. Make me fruitful, not just busy. Faithful, not frantic. Centered in you, not myself. In Jesus' name. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.